This podcast is intended for investment professionals.
Welcome to this latest episode of LGIM Talks. We're here today on this podcast to talk about the power of data science and how we can use data science to exploit the data that we hold within the organisation, within organisations, to help drive better member outcomes in DC pensions. I'm Stuart Murphy. I'm head of DC client management at LGIM. Our data science expert is sat next to me. If I could introduce Peter.
Good afternoon, Stuart. I'm Peter Jackson, the Director of Group Data Science at Legal & General.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Perhaps we could start today in terms of going down to the real sort of basic question when it comes to data science, and that is an explanation of exactly what data science is.
I think if you interviewed 10 data scientists, you get 10 different definitions. So I'll give you what I think is my definition, and it's fairly holistic. I think data science is everything from sourcing the right data, moving and getting access to that data, putting it somewhere where you can use the data, you can engineer it and transform it into the shape you need it to be, you can combine it with other data sets, and then, at that point, driving the insight, the prediction, the machine learning from those data sets. So for me, data science is everything from sourcing the data right the way through to the insights and the machine learning at the far end.
And when I've heard you talk about this in the past, Peter, you've used a term I find fascinating, which you talk about there's a lot of noise and it's cutting through all of the noise of the data. I mean, I guess what you just explained is that in essence, but do you want to explain the noise to us?
Yeah, there's two aspects to that. Often in organisations, there is an awful lot of data that is being absorbed, that is coming in, it's being collected. And around that data, particularly if you're collecting it from a lot of people or from a lot of sources, you get a lot of noise. There's a lot of stuff there that you're just not interested in. So part of the data science engineering piece is actually filtering out that noise, finding the important pieces that you want to look at. I think also you've heard me talk about the DICWA pyramid, the data, information, knowledge and wisdom. And as you progress up that pyramid, you're cutting out more and more noise and getting to more and more to insight and knowledge.
And as a layman listening in, and there may well be some laymen listening in, they will have heard the phrase big data. People talk about big data. How does that differ in terms of data science? And forgive me for that question as a data scientist, but could you sort of explain?
Again, I think if you asked 100 people for a definition of big data, you get 100 different definitions. And I think it's been a buzzword a lot for the last 5 years without anybody really knowing what it exactly is. Big data for me is data in large quantities that you're collecting from many, many data sources and perhaps often not the obvious data sources. So you're bringing in additional data from perhaps from external places to your organisation to create an increased richness in the data set. The beauty about big data now is that storage, computer storage for data sets and the speed and power of compute has enabled us to crunch bigger and bigger data sets.
Yeah. So that's in terms of the sort of the overall sort of big picture sort of view of it. Instead, start to take it down sort of organisational and DC pensions if we can. So I mean, what are the big opportunities you see for organisations like Legal & General if we apply data science in a really effective way?
I think the number one that we ought to be going after is around improving member outcomes, helping workplace savers achieve better outcomes when they eventually retire, and using the power that is in the data through data science to enhancing those outcomes.
Okay, which actually leads me into my next question I was going to ask you, and it's all around that sort of member outcomes. I mean, given my role at LGIM, working with clients, working with members and looking at how we can maximise sort of good outcomes, I can see the sort of great opportunity here. But I really should ask an expert on this. In terms of trying to bring that to life, we talk about improving member outcomes. How do you see that really work? If we get that data right and we mix other data in, what specifically can we do, do you think, in terms of the end member?
I can give a number of examples. One is giving the trustees and administrators quicker, more transparent and more consumable access to the data so they can administer and make decisions about the pension schemes with greater insight that will enhance member outcomes. I think the other is playing some of that data back to the members themselves so they can understand where their individual pension scheme is. The data can be used to predict what that pension pot may look like in the future. It may be able to predict what the future economic circumstances can look like, so they could place their future pension pot in that circumstance. But I think also very much enable people to understand where they sit in their demographic relationships. Now, if I was a 32-year-old, what sort of pension contributions are other 32-year-olds making in my industrial or retail sector, or in my part of the world, or in my family life cycle stage? Am I above or below the average? How am I comparing? And I think that I don't want to use this term in a very serious subject as workplace pensions, but gamifying, letting people compare and contrast, is a really good way of engaging people. And I think the other part of that that we've got an opportunity is to support government, DWP, or the pensions regulator, or the PPI, in formulating policy and helping them understand the market and the environment and the ecosystem of workplace pensions.
One of the questions that I'm being asked sort of increasingly is that it's brilliant to pull the data together, to bring in other data sets in, making the data accessible. I'll break this down into two parts, really. The first bit is there is a demand in terms of access to information now. How do you see this type of sort of data and output being accessed? It's, you know, typically been Excel spreadsheets, hasn't it? And it's or PDF reports and things like that.
I think you just killed the data fairy there.
Do you see? I guess what I'm trying to ask is, do you see a time, and it could be very soon, where I guess trustees and clients are actually accessing this data on the go, for want of a better term, you know, mobile technology, that type of thing?
I think simple answer to that is yes. I think that we all consume data in our personal lives, in our own banking lives, in very different ways than we did even 5 years ago. You know, I don't receive paper statements every month. I receive up-to-date banking statements on my mobile phone through an app 24 hours a day, and it's up-to-date. And they're getting better and better, and they're getting more and more accurate and more up-to-date. And I think that you can then leap that across. You can draw a line very easily into making information and data available to trustees and administrators, HR departments in employers, so they get near-lifetime access to the data, consuming it in a very interactive way, so they can drill into the data, they can put their own parameters around the data, their own time series, so they can leverage more information out, knowledge out of the data.
And when we make this information as readily accessible as that and bring it together, I'd be a real miss of mine if I didn't ask the question that I get regularly, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. But it's fair to say that we do get some nervousness from a security perspective of lifting data out of systems, bringing it in together, exposing it, getting access to it. I mean, as you know, we're developing the Client MI portal here at LGIM now that allows clients, trustees to access all of this questions. And on the back of feedback that says, wow, this is brilliant, the next question is always, reassure me from a security perspective. Over to you to reassure us from a security perspective.
Well, I think that the GDPR, General Data Protection Regulation, which came into force last year, was a force for good. It focuses everybody's mind on protecting, securing, and managing correctly personally identifiable information. And then that extends out into other sensitive information about individuals. So we comply with those guidelines. We follow them completely. I think the environments that we're moving data into, whether they're cloud environments or new environments on premise, the level of that technology is far more advanced than it was even a short while ago. I think you're aware, in one piece of work we're doing, we're using what we're calling beyond military grade encryption around very sensitive data. There is a technology there to take it seriously, but a lot of it comes down to behaviours and governance around data, which we need to get right.
So we've talked about the endless possibilities and what we can do right here and right now to start bringing this to life. And in the work that you've done from a data science perspective, you know, how do you see this evolving? I don't know if it's unfair of me to say, you know, in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, and let's not put a time limit on, but where do you see this going from where we are today to how quickly this can evolve going forward?
The starting point is that we've begun already. So we've already begun mobilising what we called earlier on big data, bringing, you know, big data sets together and mobilising so we can get access to them. And we've already put that into a browser-based dashboard, so trustees and administrators can get to client MI, which would have previously been delivered in spreadsheets or PDF. So we've started that journey. We've started it. What the horizon looks like going forward, I don't think there's any end to this. And fintech, technology, data science is constantly advancing, paralleled with people's expectations are advancing. I go back to my comments about the paper bank statements, and now I expect to get it on my app. My expectations have changed. And I think that, therefore, we've got to be working hard and to constantly push forward the boundaries as to what we're doing. So I don't see an end state.
Okay, interesting. Well, you keep telling me it's going to blow my mind, so I'll run with it, and I'll let you blow my mind as we go forward. I guess within the investment space and within the pension space, we do talk a lot about consolidation and the market shrinking in terms of companies being able to invest. Do you see data science along the same line? If you don't invest in data science now, you're not going to be there in the long term. Is this a fundamental basic, if you like, going forward?
I think it is a fundamental basic going forward. I used an analogy earlier this week that I think that financial services, people like organisations like L&G are faced with that situation. They either embrace data science or they're going to struggle as we go forward, in the same way that perhaps retailers who didn't truly embrace online stores and online delivery and online engagement with their customers are now struggling. So I think that we ought to look back and not become perhaps the blockbuster and embrace data science to address the future.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of today's LGM Talks. And I guess in terms of summarising the key points as I've heard them today, we have lots of noise, lots of data sources, lots of different data across organisations. Through data science, we can bring it together, bring it all into one place. What's your name of your triangle again, or your pyramid?
Data, information, knowledge and wisdom. DICWA.
DICWA. So we bring it together, analyse it, and then we can drive from that specific, targeted communications, information to trustees, clients, which helps us drive better member outcomes. And the footnote being that the possibilities are endless. Would that be a first summary of what we've covered today?
I think that's a very good summary.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
If you'd like to read more about our research, you can find our article on the power of data science on the LGM website. We've also put a link to this episode in the show notes. Thank you again, Peter. And thank you again to everyone that's listened from myself. My name's Stuart Murphy. And please do listen out again over the next week for another episode of LGM Talks.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcasts app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookouts for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of recording and do not reflect the views of Legal and General Investment Management. Legal and General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. And to find more great content from Legal and General Investment Management, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.